And you can be seated here tonight. I don't have a handout. I think we can, if you have a piece of paper or something, you might want to, you can take some notes on your own. But we are going to mainly be sticking in the book of Proverbs here tonight, as just feel led to teach just a little bit out of that book. Amen. You know, one of the things that we all have in common as human beings is that we've all made some mistakes. Is that right? Amen. If you didn't say amen to that, you're either dead or you're lying. I think we've all made some mistakes. See, something else that we all have in common is that when someone else is making the same kind of mistake, we can see it from a mile away. Even though when we've done that, sometimes it takes us a while to realize it. Sometimes we have a blind spot and we just can't see it. And so we're going to take a peek into the book of Proverbs here tonight, because Proverbs is written by the richest and the wisest man in the world, man Solomon. He was the third king of Israel. And 1 Kings chapter 4, 32 tells us that Solomon collected 3,000 wise sayings. And from all, he collected these from all the different kingdoms, from all the different people all over the world. And so he had collected them, but the book of Proverbs gives us around 513. I think that's the number that they would say. 513 of those 3,000 wise sayings that he had collected. And so the subject of the book of Proverbs, it's not really a secret. He brings it out often. You don't really have to go digging for it, but the subject of the book is wisdom. So in the scripture, now with us, sometimes we think of wisdom as just knowing things. But scripture, when it's talking about wisdom, it's more a matter of the heart than it is of the mind or the brain. It's more about what am I doing, what do I have down here, than it is with what do I know. So real wisdom, and really at its most basic level, what real wisdom is, according to the Bible, would be to obey God. Obedience to God is wisdom. That is, when you would boil it all down, that's what wisdom is, according to Scripture, is that if you don't obey God, then you're not wise. But if you do obey God, you're wise. It's really simple. Now, we can make it really complicated, though, at times. So I think as we look into the book of Proverbs, probably the most famous or the most read verse, or at least one of the top two in the book of Proverbs, is Proverbs 9, verse 10, where it says that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. So that's like the ground zero for wisdom, is fearing God, or in other words, obeying God. That you would obey God, that is the beginning of wisdom. That's ground zero for where wisdom starts. And it goes on, it says that the knowledge of the holy is understanding. So Proverbs, it's a really good book for reading, because it has 31 chapters, for one thing. We have 31 day, or no more than 31 days in a month. And so it's a really good reading for that purpose, so that you could pick up one chapter a day and you can just read this. It can be part of your daily intake of the Word of God. You can get that. And so it's also easy, because it's a lot of really good, just good little scriptures and tidbits of information that we can learn, and it hits us in a different way in different times of our life. As you're going through your life, what's taking place in January may be different from when you read that scripture in July, because of what you're going through. And so I love just reading through often the book of Proverbs, because it hits me in different ways. And there's three different things. We're not going to necessarily hit on these three tonight, but there's three different things that Solomon talks about in this book of Proverbs. He hits on these three different themes: either your money, your morals, or your mouth. You could say it in this way as well, is that Proverbs, it deals with what you do, what you think, and what you say. And so it's really easy to be smart in all of these areas and yet not wise in those areas. You can have a lot of smarts in these things. In other words, there's a lot of smart people with money, but they're not wise with their money at times. You ever seen anybody who they're smart? They can get a lot of money. They can earn a lot of money, but they're not wise with their money, and so they lose it all. There's a lot of people that are very intelligent as far as their vocabulary is concerned, but they're not very wise in how they use their words. Anybody ever been there? Maybe you yourself. You know some words, and you could speak well, but you get yourself in a situation sometimes because you're not wise with when you open your mouth. So you can have intelligence, you can have smarts, and it's not the same as wisdom. Wisdom is more so dealing with the application of what you know. That's what wisdom is dealing with. It's not necessarily what you know, but it's how do I use what I know. That's what wisdom is all about. Intelligence, on the other hand, is just this acquisition of knowledge. And so you can be very smart, you can be very intelligent and not very wise. And so that's what Solomon, he's studying this throughout this book of Proverbs, is what does it mean to be a wise person? And so this is talked about not just by him, but it's hit on the throughout the Old Testament and the New Testament. In fact, let's jump over to the New Testament just for a second here, because James, he tells us in James chapter 1, verse 5, he says, if any of you lack wisdom, what should you do? That's right. Ask of God. If you lack wisdom, then ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. So if you want wisdom, if you want to know, God, what do I do in this situation here? Maybe your situation is that, and if this is your situation, praise God, but maybe your situation is that you had a long lost relative died, and you inherited $1 million today. Praise God if that's your situation. Amen. But God, what is the wisdom that I need in handling this money? God, what's the wisdom that I need on the opposite spectrum? I just lost my job. Lord, what wisdom can I have in this situation? It says if you ask of him for wisdom, then he will give it to you. Come to God, and God will help you, not always, I'm saying, with the learning and gaining the knowledge, but more so about what do I do, God, in these situations? What do I do with what I have? So the book of Proverbs, it kind of has this twofold purpose, and really you only get two or three verses into that before you understand this twofold purpose of the book of Proverbs. It says, In Proverbs chapter 1, verse 2, it says, to know wisdom and instruction, and then goes on, it says, to perceive the words of understanding, to receive the instruction of wisdom, justice, and judgment, and equity. So, now that was kind of wordy in what he's saying there, but basically what he's saying is the first thing is that you need to perceive God's wisdom. You need to realize that God has a lot of wisdom for us to gain. There's a lot of things out there that God would try to teach us. And so I want you, first of all, to perceive God's wisdom. I want you to realize that God has a lot of wisdom for us. Now, where is it at? It's right here for the most part. You get into his word because there is so much wisdom that you can learn from getting into the word of God. But then he says it's not just enough to know it up here. Because I know a lot of people who have many scriptures memorized. And they could quote scripture after scripture, but they don't live it. They don't practice it. They haven't implemented that into their life. And so he says it's not just knowing wisdom and instruction, but the second part he says you need to receive the instruction of wisdom. Now knowing is up here, but receiving, he's talking about, is down here. You need to receive this into your life. You need to receive this so that you begin to live this out. And so he goes into this, and he begins talking about three different types of people. Three different types of people in his book of Proverbs. And he hits on this over and over throughout the book of Proverbs. Now, we have our three themes, but we also have three different types of people. And so I'm tiling my message here tonight after these three types of people, or our triumvirate. A triumvirate is just three top people. And so the title of my message here tonight is Solomon's Triumvirate of the Misguided. Solomon's Triumvirate of the Misguided. The three people that he talks about over and over about being the misguided, the ones who are lacking wisdom. We have the simple, we have the fool, and you have the scorner. We have all three of these are summed up in one scripture that is in Proverbs chapter 1, verse number 22. Proverbs chapter 1, verse 22. He says, "How long, you simple ones, will you love simplicity? And the scorners delight in their scorning, and the fools hate knowledge. How long are you going to do this? You simple ones, how long are you going to stay simple?" The scorners, the fools. He says that the simple ones, they delight in being simple. The scornful, they delight in being scornful. And the fools, he says that they hate God's wisdom and they hate God's knowledge. And now, can I get some help? I need three chairs to be set up right here in the front. About to knock over our thing. If you could just get three chairs just set up here. There we go. Thank you. We have our three chairs are going to represent our three different areas. We have over here is going to be the simple. We have the fool here in the middle, and we have the scorner, the scornful there on the end on over here. And I want to talk about these three different types of people here tonight, because the reality is that all of us have been in these chairs. We've all been in these chairs before. And I know that because everybody has been in this chair. Everybody has been the simple. Everybody's lived in the simple chair at some point in their life because now, simple, it's sounds like a very demeaning term, but it just means that you're lacking knowledge and you're lacking experience. And so when you're young, you are always lacking experience. And I know that we have some young here tonight, and I'm not trying to demean anybody at all and say that you're always simple, but everybody, especially at a young point in your life, a teenager, a young adult, somebody, you haven't experienced everything in life. And so there are times when you're sitting in this chair simply because you have not experienced things before. That's not to say that you're not intelligent. You can have a lot of intelligence. You can be the smartest person in this room and still be sitting in this chair because you're simple. You haven't experienced things. You haven't learned things. You're naive to certain things. So Solomon, he begins to teach on these three things. We have the simple, the fool, and the scorner. So the simple chair, the problem with being simple is that when somebody actually is simple, they don't know it. They often don't realize it, and they won't admit it. And that's a big problem, is that when we're sitting here, we don't admit the fact that I don't know everything. Has anybody ever been there in your life where you feel like you know everything? Or at least you feel like you know a lot more than you really do. It's just a way to get by sometimes. It's a way you feel like you can get ahead by acting like you know more than you actually know. And that's something that Solomon, he addresses this when he talks about the simple. He says that the simple, now remember, simple is not lacking intelligence, it's lacking experience. So when you're young, you're automatically sitting in this chair. And that's no slight on them. It's just the fact that you lack experience. And so we all come into this world simple. And the simple, they don't know the difference between right and wrong. You don't necessarily know the difference between a good choice here and a bad choice. You see something before you, and you don't know which decision to do. And so, which decision to take. And so, maybe it's a tough decision that's before you. And the fact is, this is kind of the catch in being simple, is that one way to not be simple anymore is to gain experience. How do you gain experience? By making mistakes. Yeah. By making mistakes. And so you make some bad choices sometimes, and you make mistakes, and so you learn from that, and then the next time around, hopefully, you don't do the same thing. You're no longer simple. In that area of your life, you're no longer simple, because now you understand. You've learned from your past decisions. You've learned from your past experiences, but... So here you are, but you're still sitting there with your big problem being that you don't admit the fact that you're simple at times. You sit there and you don't admit the fact that I don't know everything. And here's the other thing, is that it's not just about being young. You could sit in this chair at any point in your life. There are many people who you are going into a new area in your life, and you then get to sit down in this chair again. Because you have something new to learn. Maybe it's somebody who just got married. And you have a lot to learn. Maybe you're just having kids for the first time. You have a lot to learn. Maybe it's a new job and you're starting a new job. And you have a lot to learn with that new job. Perhaps it's just... all the kids have moved out of the house, and now you've got to learn. Now just you and your wife. It's just the two of you, or you and your spouse. Now, how are we going to live together? How are we going to readjust to life? Or perhaps you've lived for some time, and you're at a point now, and maybe your spouse has passed away, and you've got to learn to live differently. There's so many different times where you sit down in this seat of the simple, sit down in this seat of the one who you say, I've got some new stuff to learn. I have a new way that I need to adjust, and I need to figure this out. And so a simple person, a person who would stay in this chair, is someone who thinks that I have this all figured out, and I don't have to look around at everybody else around me and learn from them. But I can sit here, even though I'm in a new place, I'm going to figure all this out myself. That's how you get to sit in that chair for a long time. That's how you get to sit there for a long time, is just by trying to figure it all out yourself. See, there's many young people who they go to college and they get a bunch of credit card apps in the mail. They're not thinking about the long term. They're not thinking about the fact that when I run up my credit card debt, I'm going to have to pay off that bill at some point. And there's consequences. There's long-term consequences to that, those earlier mistakes. There are people who, they have lung cancer today because they didn't think about the long-term effects of smoking cigarettes. There are people who are alcoholics today because they didn't think of the consequences that could take place from going out to that bar that night. There are people who they've messed up their life in a thousand ways, and they're living with all this regret in their life because of their sexual promiscuity at different times in their life. And now here they are, and they're dealing with these long-term consequences because they thought, I can figure this all out myself. They're not thinking about the long-term effects. They're sitting in the simple chair. And so we learn from the book of Proverbs that the simple person, they repeatedly walk into trouble because they lack experience. They're walking into trouble over and over and over again, not thinking about the fact that in the long term, this trouble is going to really come down on me. We can look at this in Proverbs chapter 22, verse 3. It says there in Proverbs 22, 3, that a prudent man foreseeth the evil, and he hideth himself. But the simple pass on and are punished. In other words, The simple. They walk straight into the trouble because they don't foresee it coming their way. And for that reason, the simple, they almost always have to learn things the hard way. Now, sometimes we take some pride in learning things the hard way, but the reality is you don't have to learn things the hard way. Maybe you say, well, that's how it's built my character, and learning things the hard way. Yes, but you don't have to learn things the hard way, especially when it comes to your walk with God. When it comes to your walk with God, you don't have to learn to trust God and to live in righteousness by going out and living in sin. You don't have to learn things, the fact that sin has consequence. And so I'm not going to do that. And I'm going to, you don't need, some people would say, well, I got to have my time out in the world. I got to have some time where I'm going to learn now. Now I can trust God. Now I can walk in the right way. Now, you don't have to learn that way. Now, if you want to sit in the simple seat, you can do that. You can walk time and time and time again into trouble. As it says here, the simple, they walk and they pass on, they go right into it, and they are punished because they didn't foresee the evil that was before them. Another place in Proverbs, it tells us that Proverbs 21:11 says, when the scorner is punished, the simple is made wise. And when the wise is instructed, he receiveth knowledge. Now, there's something that's really profound there, is that the simple, they learn about the consequences of bad decisions when they see somebody else's life go up in smoke. When you see, hey, I see that person right over there, their life is so messed up, I'm going to learn from them. Isn't that a good thing? I think that's a good thing, that we can learn from somebody else's mistakes. You don't have to go through everything in order to learn. So when you see somebody else make a terrible mistake, here you have an opportunity as somebody who's sitting in this seat to make a decision that I'm not going to go that way. But look at this. It says, when a wise person is instructed. In other words, all you have to do is to tell them. They don't even have to see it. They don't even have to see an example of somebody else who their life has gone up in smoke in order for them to start living right. It says they don't have to experience it themselves. They don't have to watch 10 marriages go up in flames in order for them to do their marriage differently. They don't have to do things that God would instruct us in this way in order for, or they don't have to do things that the people are doing, watching everybody else's life get messed up in order to live the way that God would instruct us. All they have to do is say, hey, if God tells me, I'm going to do it. It says that the wise would follow the instruction. It's not just about the experience, but now I have a manual before me that it's going to help me get up off of this seat real quick. I have a manual on how to live my life that God can show me His principles. And I understand that if these are the principles of God, then I am going to implement them into my life so that I can bypass all of those heartaches and all of those times where I'm walking right into the evil that it tells me the simple person will walk into time and time and time again. In other words, you can save yourself from a lot of grief by just following the instruction of God. See, the problem is, when a wise person begins speaking into a simple person's life, that simple person often just thinks, well, you're just overreacting. You're just being a little bit overboard in that, aren't you? And so, can I just say to everyone who's here tonight that you are going to be in that simple chair at some point in your life. And so, if you have somebody who begins giving you counsel when you're sitting in that chair, don't look at them and say, you're just overreacting. Or, don't open your Bible and say, God, isn't that just a little bit overboard? God, isn't that just a little bit overboard on what you would tell me to do? Isn't that, do I really have to do it exactly like you're telling me here? No. I want you to take that and say, I don't even need to look around at somebody else's life that's gone through it all. God, I don't need to experience it myself, but I'm just going to take your word and I'm going to live it. And I'm going to get up out of this chair right here and I'm going to start living the wise life, the guided life, the life that is according to God's principle. I am going to get out of that chair. See, it tells us in Proverbs, there's really not too many long stories in that book, but there is this one that is in Proverbs chapter 7. We're not going to read the whole story, but I want to catch the beginning of it and the end. It says in Proverbs chapter 7, verse 6, it says, "For at the window of my house, I looked through my casement. I looked through there, and I beheld among the simple ones." Notice here, he's talking about the simple. It said, "I discerned among the youth." So he's young. Now, being young doesn't mean that he's not intelligent. It just means here, as I stated, that perhaps he hasn't learned everything. He hasn't experienced everything. So a young man, it says, void of understanding. Just doesn't have the wisdom. So the story goes on in this chapter about this woman of the night who begins to tempt this young man. And she seduces him and she brings him in. And now he thinks, well, this is no big deal. This is just a time to go party. This is a time to experience some stuff. And so we read just a little bit later in the chapter. We can go to verse 21. Verse 21, it says, "With her much fair speech, she caused him to yield. With the flattering of her lips, she forced him." Now, she didn't hold a gun to his head. All she did was she flattered his ego. She began building him up. It says, he goeth after her straightway, as an ox goeth to the slaughter, or as a fool to the correction of the stocks, till a dart strike through his liver, as a bird hasteth to the snare and knoweth not that it is for his life." See, he didn't even realize it. He didn't realize that he was playing with fire right here. He didn't realize that what he was about to do was going to damage his soul. So a couple of things that we can learn from this passage is that, first of all, this is serious business. That sin is serious business. And that you hear it preached about and the Bible addresses it. Jesus talks about it. But sin is serious business. Now, the world thinks that sin is just a joke, that it's something that you can just throw into a comedy routine, that you can just laugh it off and about. But the reality is that sin is going to have consequence, and it will completely wreck your life. Now, there's eternal consequences, but there's also earthly consequences. And this young man was going to realize that. There are earthly consequences. There are things that, because of the sin that he's harboring in his life and he's cultivating in his life, he's going to have some long-term consequences if he doesn't learn to get up off of this seat of the simple one and say, "There's something better out there for my life. I don't have to go through all the heartache and the pain to learn the hard way. Instead, I want to learn by just trusting God, and what he has for me is the best way for me to live." See, simple people, inexperienced people. Now, there's new people who are new converts. There are people who are new believers, and you're in this chair, I want to encourage you to learn, encourage you to soak up all you can from the Word of God. Soak up all you can as Pastor preaches to you and say, what is it that you can help me to learn from that I don't have to learn by going through these hard things? Help us to have a desire to bypass all the heartache and all the pain, not dabble in sin. See, I want you to realize that somebody is going to try to fill some of these areas in our life where we are getting this knowledge, where we're getting this, where we are trying to feel like we are accepted by people. It's kind of a natural thing for us, especially for somebody who is in this chair, to want to be accepted by others. There's really nothing wrong with that. I mean, that is natural. You want to be accepted by your peers. You want to be accepted by those who are around you. That's a normal desire for you to have. But I want you to remember this, that the approval of man is a moving target. And if you keep going after that, it's always going to be something that you will be pursuing for the rest of your life. That as you sit in the chair and you say, I just want to make sure I'm getting the approval of man, you're going to be seeking after that for the rest of your life, because it will just keep on moving a little bit further and a little bit further and a little bit further down the road. So please realize that you are never going to get enough from somebody else, enough approval from somebody else to fill this bottomless pit in our life that says, I just want to belong. I just want to be approved. I want to be accepted. And so the only thing that you really need is to know that God approves of you. That God says you're good enough. That God says that you are enough. Know that God is enough, and know that God made you to be enough. Those are two important things to understand when you're sitting in this chair, because gaining somebody else's approval is something that you really can really struggle with when you are sitting here as somebody who is new, somebody who is trying to learn things. Instead of chasing after the approval of man, I want you to chase after the approval of God. And when you do that, you get up off that chair pretty quick. There's this other area, or this other chair that's here before us. That is the chair of the fool. So that simple person, they were in this stage of their life where they don't know for sure if something is right or something is wrong. But the fool, they've kind of moved past that. They understand what's right. They understand what's wrong. They're not naive to that. But when they sit in the chair of the fool, here they are, and they just don't care about what is right and what's wrong. I don't know. Maybe you yourself have been in this chair at some point in your life, or you know somebody who has sat in that chair. That you plead with them and you talk with them. Maybe if you're a parent to this person, or you are a friend to this person, or a spouse to them, or a sibling, you plead with them and you say, can't you see the consequences that are going to come from that choice that you're making right now? They say, yeah, but is it really that big of a deal? Is it really that big of a deal for me to learn? These consequences, are they really going to affect me that much? I can see them, but I just don't really care about it. I'm just going to keep going forward. That's the fool. Somebody who sees what's before them and they still keep going forward in that way. See, Proverbs chapter 10, verse 23. It tells us here, it says that it's sport. It's sport for a fool to do mischief. It's like a game to them. That church is just a game. That God is just a game. That the moving of the Spirit when it comes into a service is just a game. They don't care about any of it. That God's commandments are just a game. That going and doing all this, that it's just a sport to them. It says, but a man of understanding, he has wisdom. They would say, I can go and I can live however I want. I can get into all the mischief that I want. Now, when this is talking about mischief, it's not talking about going and TPing somebody's house as a young person. This is talking about moral things. This is talking about a mischief that is sinful. This is talking about things that's not just going out and having a little bit of fun. This is things that would affect your eternal salvation. Something that you're messing around with. It's a fool. That it's only a fool who would go and make sport of their salvation. Of how they are living their life, that they would go and just do these things that are so foolish, these things that are they're rebelling against God, and they know that they're doing it, but they don't care. That's a fool. Proverbs chapter 15, verse 2 says that the tongue of the wise useth knowledge aright, but the mouth of fools poureth out foolishness. I like this. It says it pours out foolishness. It's like it's just constant. It's like a waterfall that just keeps coming out of this foolish talk, out of the mouth of the fool. And so again, this isn't just a, you know, having a little fun, telling, you know, a joke to get somebody to laugh. In fact, I think there's some people who probably could use a smile, maybe even right now. Just look at your neighbor right now and smile. That's right. See? It's all right to, it's all right to have fun. It's all right to act a little crazy sometimes. But a foolish person in a biblical sense is somebody who's being sinister. It's somebody who, it's not a happy word at all. It's about somebody who would delight in sin. Who is somebody who would go and do things that are so against what they know is right, but they don't care about it. See, in the Bible, the mouth of the fools, it says it pours out rebellion. It pours out disregard for the laws of God. It pours out this casual, this callous, this kind of like, don't, I don't care, kind of an attitude towards their walk with God. And that kind of a person, they are going to end up just walking in garbage all the time, because what they're doing is they're spilling out garbage out of their mouth. They're spilling out, they're allowing their foolish decisions to lead them into trouble after trouble after trouble. And they don't even care. So if you are, or if you have a fool in your life who you've been pouring into, fact is that you need to make an exit from them. You need to, because it says that a foolish person pollutes your spirit too. A foolish person will end up polluting your spirit because of their constant just fascination with foolishness, their foolish living. If you are around them long enough, you're going to start stepping in some of that garbage too. If you stick around somebody long enough who just keeps disregarding the law of God, disregarding what they know to do right, you are going to end up in the same chair that they're at, that they're in. There's a kind of a really grotesque kind of a picture that is painted for us in Proverbs chapter 26, verse 11. It says that as a dog returneth to his vomit, so a fool returneth to his folly. A fool, he just keeps coming back to the same sin over and over and over and over again. And if you stick around a person like that long enough, you're going to participate in the same thing that they are. We need to make some distance between us and a fool. It says, get away from the fool. Make some changes in your life so that you could encourage them to change their ways, but you don't want to get close enough that you participate in it as well. See, that verse there, it's kind of a grotesque picture, but there's a really frightening verse about a fool that it says in Proverbs 13:20. It says that he that walketh with wise men shall be wise. Here comes the scary part. It says that the companion of fools will be destroyed. So it's not just the person sinning. It's not just the rebel. But it's the person that's acting so casual and callous in their relationship with God. And it's the people who are around them who are going to start picking some of that up as well. You ever been around somebody long enough that they just don't care about their relationship with God and it starts affecting you? See, we need to make sure that we are staying strong, that we are not sitting in that seat ourselves. Now, I want to look here at our third chair, the third chair of that we have over here, which is the chair of the scorner. And if you're reading through the book of Proverbs, then you might see a couple different words that describe this person. You can see the scorner, the scoffer, or the mocker. All of those are all synonyms. They're all describing the same person who's sitting in this chair over here. See, the scorner, they are exactly like the fool in that they know what right and wrong is. They're not like the simple one over there who doesn't know what right and wrong is. But they know what right and wrong is. But there's a distinct difference between what they do and what they do. Because not only does the scorner disregard all of what they know is right, but they also begin speaking against and making fun of and degrading everybody around them who's making wise decisions. That's what the scorner does. The scorner is somebody who, you could say it this way, that the simple person is clueless, the fool is careless, and the scorner is critical. That they are critical and they want to drag down everybody who is around them. That the simple person, they're clueless. The fool is careless, and the scorner is critical. See, the Bible tells us that if you try to connect or try to correct a fool, then a fool is just going to ignore you. But if you try to correct a scorner, they're going to hate you. So you try to wade into their life, and you try to help them, and you try to get some things turned around, you're going to feel some of the worst venom that you've ever felt directed towards you, because you dared to step into their life and begin to tell them that there is a better way to live. That you're making a really stupid decision right now, and you need to make sure that you get some things corrected, because you are going to have some long-term consequences because of what you're doing. And they just begin spitting venom all over the place, and you feel like, whoa, I just stepped somewhere where I didn't want to step. And you start feeling it. Anybody ever been there? Scorner. Somebody who doesn't receive correction at all. That would be the scorner. It says in Proverbs 9:8. It says, reprove not a scorner, lest he hate thee. Rebuke a wise man, and he's going to love you. See, a wise man is going to thank you for correcting them. But a scorner is going to hate you for it. See, Proverbs, it teaches us this thing over and over and over again, that the humble people will receive correction. And in fact, the Bible says that they will not just receive it, but they will love correction. That a humble person, a wise person, loves correction. They're wise enough to know that I don't know everything. They're wise enough to know that, you know, I don't want to be arrogant and feel like I know everything and I've got it all figured out. But the arrogant people, they're going to reject correction. They're going to get all puffed up. They're going to get an attitude toward you. You start telling them that they're wrong, and you're going to feel the wrath that they have directed all towards you now. Because you just dared to wade into the fact that they might be making a bad decision. See, I don't know. Is anybody ever here? Anybody here know somebody? Now, don't look around when I ask you this. But does anybody know a scorner? Anybody know somebody who sat in that? That's okay. Yeah, raise your hand. Okay. Like I said, don't look around. See, sometimes other people, they have some blind spots in their life. Maybe, do you know anybody who has a blind spot in their life? That something in their life that they're unaware of. Something then in their life that they know that they should, or maybe they don't know, I'm sorry. A blind spot would be that they don't know about this thing that's wrong in their life. And so here they are, they're going around, and here's often how you know it's a blind spot, is that when they walk out of the room, somebody begins talking about it. I'm not encouraging that. That is what happens a lot of times. It's like, man, does that person realize that they always wear their shoes on the wrong feet? Do they even realize that? It's like every time that they come into work, their shoes are on the wrong feet. I mean, so you start to realize, I mean, this person, they must have that blind spot in their life that they don't know how to figure that out. And so now there's plenty of other things, blind spots that you know of that people have in their lives. You know, stupid things that they're doing, that they just keep on doing them, but they're not correcting them. So maybe it's just that they don't even realize it. Well, I didn't come here to talk about that person. I came here to talk about you. Because are you perhaps that person with a blind spot? Here's a big question that we need to answer. Who do you allow to speak correction into your life? Is there anybody who can speak to you and tell you no and you'll accept it? Is there anybody who can speak into your life and tell you yes, and you'll say, yes, sir, yes, ma'am? See, if you don't have that in your life, then you are in major trouble and you don't even know it. You have a blind spot in your life. If you don't have somebody who can speak correction into your life, then you're sitting here right now just on the precipice of, at some point, you are going to be walking into something that you need some correction, and you have nobody to correct you. Or you won't receive it from anybody if they do. You perhaps are sitting in the seat of the scornful. If you have nobody in your life right now who can speak and tell you, you're just wrong in that area. You need to correct some things in your life. You need to make some changes in your life. If you can't receive that kind of advice from somebody, I'm talking about a loving approach, somebody who would come to you, and I'm not talking just somebody who barely knows you that's speaking in your life. I understand when you start, you know, balling up a little bit and just, you know, why would you try to speak into my life? You don't really know me. I'm talking about somebody who knows you, somebody who cares about you, somebody who loves you, and they can speak into your life and say, you need to get some things situated. You need to get some things corrected in your life. I can see the direction that you're heading right now, and it's not the direction that you want to go. If you don't have that person, then you perhaps are sitting in the seat of the scornful because you can't receive correction from anybody. You've decided that here I am, and I've got it all figured out. I know that I'm smart enough to make every right decision. I'm smart enough. I'm never going to fall off the path. I'm smart enough. You know, nobody else is ever going to have to correct me. No, that's not the case. You are going to at times fall. You are going to at times make a step that is in the wrong direction. We need to receive correction well. See, here's the truth, that as painful as correction might be, correction is never as painful as the consequences will be. Correction might be hard to receive, but it's always going to be easier to receive than the consequences. It's going to be way better to let somebody speak into your life now rather than having to deal with the consequences later. See, but scorners, they're not going to do that. A scorner is somebody who says, I can't let anybody correct me. I'm too good for that. I know too much. There's nobody who can. They're just dragging me down. They're just trying to tear me down by correcting me. See, a scorner, they're going to try controlling you, in fact, by mocking you for listening to your pastor. There's a scorner in your life. They're going to try controlling you by mocking you for obeying God and holding to the Bible's commandments. They have this cynical, this skeptical, and critical, like, bent to them that they're just going to try to make you feel stupid. They're going to try to make you feel like you're just crazy for living wholeheartedly for God. A scorner in some of these areas, they're going to try in every way to make you feel like you're crazy for being a sellout for God. And if you have that kind of a scorner in your life, I'm telling you right now, you need to shut them down. Get them out of your life, because that kind of a person will tear you down to the point where you have so low confidence, you're going to begin questioning your walk with God because they're constantly criticizing you, constantly making you feel like you giving them some kind of direction is the worst thing in the world. And I'm telling you, because you can love somebody, and you, if you can love somebody and tell them and encourage them to start living a better way, and if all they're going to do is cut you down over and over and over again, then what you need to do is just turn to prayer at that point. Cut some of these people out of your life that are constantly tearing you down. Cut some of these scornful people out of our life that are constantly just making contention and strife. It tells us in Proverbs chapter 22, verse 10, and I'm coming to a close here quickly. It tells us there in Proverbs 22:10, it says, cast out the scorner, and contention shall go out. That's kind of amazing. What happens when you cast out the scorner? It says that contention is going to go away. A strife and reproach are going to cease. If you get away from the scorner, if you get away from these people who are just tearing you down all the time because you're correcting them, because you're trying to get there, you know, speak some positivity in their life. If you begin to make some separation from them, it says you're going to get some contention out of your life. Now, here's what I don't want to do. I don't want you to just completely toss them out and forget about them. That's not our goal. Our goal is not to just kick somebody out to the curb, completely forget about them. No. Because the fact is, as I started this, I said that each one of us has probably sat in these chairs at some point in our life. And I'm glad that I wasn't kicked out, kicked to the curb. And somebody said, man, you just don't get it. You don't have any chance of making it. I'm glad that wasn't said about me. But here's what we do. We begin to pray. We begin to reach out to them in a different way. Where we say, God, you need to remove the influences. You need to remove this spirit that they have inside of them that is causing them to rebuke your wisdom, that's causing them to be misguided in their ways. Lord, if it's somebody who's sitting here, God, I pray that you would help them to understand that there is right and there is wrong, that they don't have to learn the hard way. If it's somebody who's sitting here, help them. God, I pray that you would help them, Lord, that they would just begin to learn that their choices really do have an eternal effect, God. That what they're doing right now, they may seem lackadaisical about it. They may seem like it doesn't matter how I live my life. But God, wake them up to the reality that this is real. Don't let them be that person who is sitting in the seat of don't let them be the person who's sitting in this seat any longer. God, I pray that you wouldn't help, or that you would help the scornful, that you would help the person who they're not receiving any correction. Help them to be saved. Amen. See, the problem is, it's the last thing, I'm closing up with this. Maybe it's you today. And you've been sitting in one of these seats and you've gotten really comfortable. In fact, it's no longer a padded pew or chair here, but you've got a lazy boy set up and you've turned it into a lazy boy where you kick back and you have your feet up and you have a really nice seat there, in that seat of the fool or in that seat of the simple. Or maybe you've gotten into a place where you're sitting in the seat of the scornful. You just kicked your feet up. You've been there. You've gotten that so comfortable in that place that you have this tendency to ignore the wise counsel of God. You've gotten to this place where you continue to ignore these things that are in your life that you know ought not be there. But today is your day. You can make that choice. I'm going to put that lazy boy, those leg rest down. I'm going to stand up out of this seat and I am going to wake up to the reality of who I am and how I'm living. You see, the fool doesn't have to be a fool in every area of his life. Maybe it's just one little area of his life. The scorner isn't necessarily a scorner in every area of his life, but there's certain things that you cannot receive correction on. And if that's you today, I want you to look in the mirror and say, who can I have that can correct me? Who can I have? Can I get out of this seat today? See, repentance, this right now is a chance for repentance. And I'm not talking about something here at the altar. I'm talking about right now. You make up in your mind, I'm getting up out of that seat and I'm going a different way. That's what true repentance is. It's making up in your mind tonight, I'm going to live differently. I'm going to live the wise life. I'm not going to be misguided anymore. I'm not going to be in Solomon's triumvirate of the misguided. The three people that he talks about over and over and over again in his book of Proverbs. But I am going to live by the word of God. Amen. Could we stand here tonight? I said that repentance it's not a prayer that you pray down here at the altar, but perhaps it is something that you want to speak out to God right now, and you want to make this claim, you want to make this stand right now. Lord, I'm getting out of the seat, God. I'm getting out of the misguided seat, Lord. I'm no longer going to be a fool who knows that I'm doing wrong over and over and over again. God, I am going to make up my mind right now to start living for you. Amen. If that's you tonight, amen. In fact, just everybody, if we could just lift up our hands, amen, just begin to pray. Maybe you know somebody. Maybe it's your child. Maybe it's your friend. Maybe it's your spouse. Maybe it's, come on, just somebody who you know that's close to you. Amen. Would you pray for them? Would you help them? God, cry out, Lord, I thank you, Jesus, Lord, for your word. God, I thank you, God, that we no longer have to walk in a misguided direction. God, we no longer have to sit here all, oh, Lord, misunderstood. God, Lord, in a place, God, where we are headed for destruction. But God, help us, Lord, to walk in true peace. God, help us to walk in righteousness. Help us, Lord, to walk in the way of the righteous. God, not sit in the seat of the scornful any longer. Lord, I pray tonight, Lord Jesus, if there's anybody in this place, Lord, that we would have the courage, that we would have the stamina, Lord, to get up out of the seat and begin walking after you. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Amen. Could you just put your hands together here tonight?